today.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control of the airwaves. It's toll free. 1-800-259-9231 as we kick off hour three. That's the Thursday edition. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Once again, that's 800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, where everything's totally free. Again, that is freetalklive.com. We're going to talk about so-called animal rights on the way, but got to go to the phones first. It is the show about your calls. Ladies first, Paula in Florida. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Yeah, hi, hon. He was just telling me that y'all were discussing something about property rights. Do y'all know about allodial title?
Yeah, I've heard about allodial title.
Yeah.
The idea is that if you have allodial title on the property that you own,
mm-hmm.
then it is yours free and clear, and there's
yeah.
no responsibility or no obligation to pay property taxes.
That's right, yeah. We had
the question is,
here.
How do you get it?
Okay, you go to somebody that, we have somebody here that's doing, we had a meeting here in our county about this,
mm-hmm.
and we met one of the churches, but anyway, you find a person that makes up, they can make up the allodial title for you, and then you
they
go file
it
at the courthouse. Huh?
They just make it up, and then what do they do?
They know how to do this, but I mean, the thing is, you got to get it done, then you go file it at the county courthouse.
And what if the county courthouse says, no, don't want to take that from you?
You can fight it.
Hmm. Has anyone actually gone through with this yet, Paula?
Yeah, we have people here in our county that's already done this.
And are you one of them?
Not yet. I'm in the process of getting some property out of a family trust and switching it over, and as soon as we do that, we're going to get it done.
You know, I've heard things about this. We've heard rumors.
Do you have to own the property outright in order to do this, Paula?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, because only 2% of Americans don't
yeah.
have a mortgage on their home.
Yeah, now, one problem we have in the state of Florida, we don't even, the country doesn't really even own Florida. It belongs to the Seminoles.
Okay.
And we can't even have mineral rights.
Do you have to get a Seminole to write up a colonial title?
Huh?
Do you have to get a Seminole to write up a little
title? No, no, no.
What about the Muskogee Indians?
They do a rain dance at the
same
time?
All I'm saying is, we explained this at the meeting we had, because I knew about this,
mm-hmm.
and the thing is, we never paid the Seminoles of Florida. This is why mm-hmm. we can't have mineral rights off your property, because of this.
Fascinating.
I see.
Fascinating.
But anyway, the thing is, it is a good idea.
It is a good idea. I agree with that. The allodial title thing, I'd like to get it on some of my property if it would be possible.
You can call an attorney, okay, or somebody
that
thinks
but they're going to take my money.
A Seminole attorney.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I'm just saying, though, you can do this.
How come the Seminoles get the rights to the states when there's all kinds of...
Because we never paid them for the state.
Yeah, but there's several Indian tribes in Florida, Paula. There's the Muskogee.
Well, I know, but at the time it belonged to the Seminoles.
Hmm. The whole state?
Yeah.
What about Spain? I thought we got it from Spain.
No, I believe we got it. The Seminoles, let us have it. But anyway, the thing is...
What I want to know, Paula, besides the whole Seminole thing, is...
Uh-huh.
I'd like to actually hear from somebody who has done this, somebody who claims to have a allodial title and who has not paid property taxes.
I'll give you a guy that does this, okay?
No, you can have him call the show. I'm not going to actually dig around for somebody.
Well, no, I mean, I've got his number right here.
Great, so call him and invite him to call the show. We'd really appreciate that. Thank
you
for the call, Paula. We appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231. I think it's a neat idea. I've heard about it. Some people that have some credibility, besides Paula, she doesn't have much. But some people that have credibility actually have suggested this as something that can exist. Badnarik, the presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party in 2004, talking about it.
I've heard several instances where people have done this and that it's worked. I don't know how.
I'd like to know how, and I'd like to know. I mean, if you have to own the property outright, that makes sense, right? Because otherwise it's the bank's property and you're just sort of... You're renting it from the bank for a little while.
Yeah, pretty much.
But once you own it outright, what's the process you have to go through? How much time does it take? How much paperwork is involved? And can you really get out from under the thumb of the government? If I have a allodial title, does that mean that I can tell the zoning board to go F off if they make a claim that I haven't painted my house the right color or whatever it is they don't like? You know how the zoning boards can be.
Well, all I can tell you is the government thinks it's in charge.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue to think it's in charge while you have a allodial title, too.
What we need to do is get some people elected in the free state who will respect this concept of a allodial title and just abolish property taxes outright. That way it won't really matter anymore.
I hate the idea that people's property is taken away because they're unwilling or unable to pay for services like public schools that they may never have used.
Yeah, it's outrageous. Let's go to the phones.
Go ahead.
Let's talk to Kenneth in Colorado. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hey, guys. I know, Ian, you've been paying attention to the Weeds series on Showtime.
Yes, it is probably my favorite dramatic show of all time. It's more of like a comedy drama. Very great program.
Right. Well, I watched episodes 5 and 6 recently.
Okay.
And I tell you, I got a little disappointed because I know everything's not always perfect in the dramatic world, the way they write things up. But I don't know if you caught it or anybody else caught it and was as surprised and as disturbed as I was. But the supposed protagonist of the show actually used her DEA agent husband in order to use force against other drug dealers.
Right. The situation, I mean, I have to recount now the plot of the show. The show is about a suburban woman, weed dealer. Her husband dies in the beginning of the first season, and so she takes up selling weed to the suburbanites in this little small kind of upper crust income area of California. And so down the line, she encounters a DEA agent. They sort of fall in love, and so you've got a weed dealer who gets married to a DEA agent.
And she didn't know until after they'd gotten involved.
They were involved, but then she found out and they got married.
Right.
And it's a crazy plot, and it's wild, mm-hmm. Very interesting. But then apparently they were setting up a grow house for marijuana in a neighborhood. And there was an existing gang that was operating 4 grow houses in that same neighborhood. They found out. They came over and threatened them. The existing gang threatened them for setting up a grow house in their neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Right? And to the existing gang, the Armenians, they actually were kind of nice about it. They actually gave them the opportunity to leave. They didn't come over and destroy anything. They didn't come over and hurt anybody. They just said, you need to get out of this neighborhood. It's our neighborhood. So she turned the tables on him by having the DEA agent, her DEA agent husband, essentially take him out. So they raided their houses. What was your objection exactly, Kenneth, that she's not principled?
Well,
she's not a libertarian. She's just a character on a TV
show.
Well,
I know, but there's obviously a fairly firm libertarian theme on the show.
There is.
And you would hope that the protagonist would do the right thing, and I wouldn't think the right thing would be asking the government to use force. Of course, it's all, you know,
I think the point of that, Kenneth, was to point out how corrupt the entire drug dealing game is. I mean,
sure.
It's really possible that a DEA agent could be buddy-buddy, or in this case, husband and wife, with a drug dealer, and they could use them to shut out the competition.
Yeah, that
occurs. It's entirely plausible.
Yeah. There was another thing that I wanted to bring up was about the movie called The Experiment.
Don't know it.
It's actually a German movie called Das, whatever they call experiment in German, and it had English titles on it. And it was actually, we should say loosely, about the Stanford Prison Experiment.
Ooh, yeah.
And it wasn't directly about the Stanford Prison Experiment because they took enough license that they didn't really want to connect it to that.
Okay.
But what they did that was interesting was the presumption that if the, one of the researchers hadn't made enough objections to stop the experiment after something like 6 days instead of 14, what would have happened? And so basically what happens in the movie The Experiment is the experiment goes the whole 14 days or something.
Ooh.
And it's about the violence that ensues and so on and so forth. Anyway, I thought it was a very interesting movie.
Cool. It's called The Das Experiment.
It's something like that, but it's The Experiment in English.
If you don't have time to go out and rent a movie and watch a movie, if you want to learn about the Stanford Prison Experiment, which was something that was done back in 1971, Stanford University, they brought in students. They separated them into roles. These were just students who had volunteered to be in a program. They separated them into roles. One side was the prisoners. The other side was the jailers. And then I guess the guy who was running the experiment was shocked at how quickly people fell into being their role. They were, before the prison experiment started, just students. But within days, they were acting as though they were really prisoners, and they were acting as though they were jailers. The jailers being sadists and inflicting harm on the prisoners. The prisoners just sort of being pathetic. It was really just an amazing story. I don't have time to get into it, but thanks for the call, Kenneth. If you want to learn about it, there's a great website actually put up by the guy who did the experiment back in the 70s. It's prisonexp.org. Like experiment, prisonexp.org. There's photos, there's details, there's information. It is gripping reading. You'll spend an hour or two alone just going through this website. More on the way. Your show, you take control. It is Free Talk Live.
He's kind of like a love child between Ann Coulter and Michael Moore.
I keep hearing all about this obesity epidemic. So what? That's between people, their doctor, and their dinner plate. So why does government get involved? I'll tell you why. Changing your lifestyle is how they think they're going to afford socialized medicine. That's why. Put down that steak, you selfish pig. You're cheating poor folks out of their vaccinations.
Common Sense with Dan Carlin. Get the MP3 or podcast at iTunes or go to dancarlin.com.
What's the worst thing about listening to the radio? The commercial breaks are too long. Now, for just $3 a month, you can help Free Talk Live reduce the amount of time we spend playing commercials and get some really cool bonuses. Your contribution will help us get the show on more radio stations and MP3 players. For pennies per day, you'll help spread the message of liberty around the world. For more information, visit amp.freetalklive.com. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier today for just $3 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Currency devaluation, inflation, one and the same. If you had deposited $100,000 in a bank at 1% in a 30-month period dating from May 24, 2005, here is what happened to your funds. The dollar lost 33% of its value in that time frame. The bank paid you 1%. Your $100,000 now has a net purchasing power of $68,000. Here is reality. The devaluation of currency equals real inflation. Keep in mind how the value of your paper assets are measured in dollars. Gold in the same time frame increased 35% in value. Learn how to protect and profit in this truly unstable world economy. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding the bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now. Check, please. You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. The toll-free number 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. Ian Drew and Mark, you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Everything there is totally free. Get signed up for the updates. And whenever there's something fresh to announce about the show, you'll know first. If you're on the updates list, you can get on it by going to updates.freetalklive.com or just using the entry box right there on the front page of the site at freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live brought to you by the Free State Project, your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org. Again, that's freestateproject.org. freetalklive.org. And I mentioned the Stanford Prison Experiment, or Kenneth actually brought it up in the last segment, and I talked about prisonexp.org, which is a very detailed website recounting the Stanford Prison Experiment and what they did and how it all worked and what an amazing, amazing experiment it was. And, of course, during the break, I had the website up and couldn't help but flip through it, and I just have to give you an excerpt from this, because if you don't take the time out to read this website, you'll never really truly understand what had gone on here. I mean, it's one thing for me and you to sit here and discuss it, Mark. It's another thing to actually hear from the psychologist or the teacher, the professor who was in charge of setting this thing up. And the first thing, and this is such a huge website. I wish I could read the whole thing, but it's just so detailed. We'll talk about the guards first. And apparently they so-called arrested some of the people that had volunteered to take part in this study. They sort of made it sort of realistic. They were arrested and blindfold, and there was this whole process into getting them into the prison. And then we talk about introducing the guards to this story. The guards, who also were college students.
Right.
Everyone here involved, except for the jailer, who was the guy in charge of the experiment, were college students.
Right. They're really college students. For the purpose of this experiment, they put on the clothes and began acting like prisoners and prison guards.
Right. And when we've talked about people in roles of authority, like cops and prison guards, you think that, well, it's kind of a job that entails power, so therefore it's going to attract those who are in search of power. We know that to be the case. We know that the job of police officer has a tendency to attract people who are sadists because they know they can enforce their will on others.
Not all of them, but certainly it has.
I didn't say all of them.
No. You didn't.
Okay. I said it can attract sadists.
Right.
But the interesting thing about the Stanford Prison Experiment is that these guys weren't able to choose whether they wanted to be guards or prisoners. They were just choosing to be in the experiment. So these guys weren't attracted by the power. These were just kids. The guards were given no... This from Stanford. This from prisonexp.org. The guards were given no specific training on how to be guards. Instead, they were free, within limits, to do whatever they thought was necessary to maintain law and order in the prison and to command the respect of the prisoners. The guards made up their own set of rules, which they then carried into effect under the supervisor of Warden David Jaffe, an undergraduate from Stanford University. They were warned, however, of the potential seriousness of their mission and of the possible dangers in the situation they were about to enter, as, of course, are real jobs who voluntarily take such a dangerous job. As with real prisoners, our prisoners expected some harassment, to have their privacy and some of their other civil rights violated while they were in prison, and to get a minimally adequate diet, all part of their informed consent agreement, when they volunteered. So they knew what they were getting into. This is what one of our guards looked like, and then they provide a picture. All the guards were dressed in identical uniforms of khaki. They carried a whistle around their neck and a billy club borrowed from the police. Guards were also wearing special sunglasses, an idea that I borrowed from the movie Cool Hand Luke. Mirror sunglasses, preventing anyone from seeing their eyes or reading their emotions, and thus helping to further promote their anonymity. We were, of course, studying not only the prisoners, but also the guards, who found themselves in a new power-laden role. We began with 9 guards and 9 prisoners in our jail. 3 guards worked each of the 3 8-hour shifts, while 3 prisoners occupied each of the 3 barren cells around the clock. The remaining guards and prisoners from our sample of 24 were on call in case they were needed. The cells...
So they went home?
The guards did, but not the prisoners.
Okay.
Right.
Well, where'd the prisoners go?
They stayed in their cells.
I thought that it said that they were on call.
No. The remaining guards and prisoners from our sample, there was 9 and 9. They had a sample of 24, so in case something happened, they could bring another prisoner.
Sorry, I'll try to stick with you.
The cells were so small that there was only room for 3 cots on which the prisoners slept or sat, with little room for anything else. And that's kind of realistic. I mean, real prison cells ain't exactly luxury. There's not a lot of room there.
No, it's not a night at the Hilton, that's for sure.
At 2:30 a.m., the prisoners were rudely awakened from sleep by blasting whistles for the first of many... counts. The counts served the purpose of familiarizing the prisoners with their numbers. Counts took place several times each shift and often at night. But more importantly, these events provided a regular occasion for the guards to exercise control over the prisoners. At first, the prisoners were not completely into their roles, and they didn't take the counts too seriously. They still were kids in a prison experiment at that point. They were still trying to assert their independence. The guards, too, were feeling out their new roles, and they were not yet sure how to assert authority over the prisoners. This was the beginning of a series of direct confrontations between the guards and the prisoners. So the experiment had only just begun. The other part they describe before they talk about the guards on the website is the arrival of the prisoners and the setup, how they sort of dehumanized them and de-individualized them. They didn't actually shave their heads as they normally would have in a real prison, but they did force them to wear stockings on their heads to sort of give them that uniform appearance. Push-ups were a common form of physical punishment that was imposed by the guards to punish infractions of the rules or displays of improper attitudes towards the guards or institution. When we saw the guards demanding push-ups from the prisoners, remember, the guards weren't given any rules. They were just allowed to create their system.
Right.
So when we saw them demanding push-ups from the prisoners, we initially thought this was an inappropriate kind of punishment for a prison, a rather juvenile and minimal form of punishment. However, we later learned that push-ups were often used as a form of punishment in Nazi concentration camps, as can be seen by a drawing by a former concentration camp inmate, Alfred Cantor. It's noteworthy that one of our guards also stepped on the prisoners' backs while they did push-ups, or made other prisoners sit or step up on the backs of fellow prisoners doing their push-ups.
Well, I can't imagine that somebody could do a push-up with somebody sitting on their back.
It'd be very difficult, I think.
Really difficult.
Asserting independence, because the first day passed without incident, we were surprised and totally unprepared for the rebellion which broke out on the morning of the second day. The prisoners removed their stocking caps, ripped off their numbers, and barricaded themselves inside the cells by putting their beds against the door. And now the problem was, what were we going to do about the rebellion? The guards were very much angered and frustrated because the prisoners also began to taunt and curse at them. When the morning shift of guards came on, they became upset at the night shift, who they felt must have been too lenient. The guards had to handle the rebellion themselves, and what they did was fascinating for the staff to behold. At first, they insisted that reinforcements be called in. The three guards who were waiting on standby call at home came in, and the night shift of guards voluntarily remained on duty to bolster the morning shift. The guards met and decided to treat force with force. They got a fire extinguisher, which shot a stream of skin-chilling carbon dioxide, and they forced the prisoners away from the doors. The fire extinguishers were present in compliance with the requirement by the Stanford Human Subjects Research Panel, which was concerned about potential fire threats. So they took one of the tools that happened to be around, turned it against the prisoners.
Wow.
The guards broke into each cell, stripped the prisoners naked, took the beds out, forced the ringleaders of the prisoner rebellion into solitary confinement, and generally began to harass and intimidate the prisoners. This was all on day number 2 of the Stanford Prison Experiment. It's just stunning.
It went 4 more days.
It's just amazing. More on the way. 800-259-9231. Your comments, your thoughts about anything. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live.
By now, it is no surprise that the U.S. ranks 37th in the world in occurrence of chronic illness, according to the World Health Organization. Due to modern farming and food processing practices, our food supply has become nutrition deficient, deficient in nutrients essential to good health. It is time to take back your health. Everyone has the right to good health. Join the self-reliant families, entrepreneurs, and the company pioneering cutting-edge glyconutrient technology. The wellness revolution is projected to be a $1 trillion industry by 2010. We are looking for people who are serious about bettering their lives and the lives of the people they love. Better health is possible. To learn more, go to therighttogoodhealth.com. You have the right to decide what is attainable in your lifetime. You have the right to build a healthy lifestyle that you can share with your friends and family. You have the right to achieve self-reliance and financial independence. And you have the right to good health. Visit therighttogoodhealth.com.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get how to turn your child's attitude around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Hey, want to know a natural healing treatment that's been around for thousands of years? Salt products. Now Soleil Wellness brings these natural healing products to your home. Easy to use, non-toxic, and 100% natural, these products help to give you great physical, mental, and spiritual results. Heated salt pills for earaches and back pain, salt pipes to relieve respiratory ailments, bath salts release toxins as they soften and rehydrate the skin, pretty salt lamps to ionize the air and reduce EMF radiation. So many different salt products available for you. It's time to let the secret out. Visit Soleil Wellness at natural-salt-lamps.com. That's natural-salt-lamps.com. Or call 312-224-2710. That's 312-224-2710. Mention GCN Live for a free gift.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network. I have an urgent message for all of our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world, quote unquote. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following two free reports. U.S. debt bubble, red alert, and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 888-8-XANADU. And ask for George.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. It is your show, and you can bring up anything. Toll-free number 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, where everything's totally free, live streams included. There's a broadband version of the show there and a dial-up version, both two sizes will fit virtually any internet connection. And they're both free at freetalklive.com. So we're talking about the Stanford Prison Experiment just because it is one of the most fascinating, in my opinion, fascinating psychological studies ever ever produced in American history. And it's the details that we're getting this from are available at prisonexp.org. It's a great site. There's photos from the original experiment. The site was written by the guy who conducted the original experiment. There's actually video clips as well. There's some great discussion points as well, talking about how these college kids volunteered to be part of this experiment. And they were chosen as either guards or prisoners. And when they arrived, they were sort of de-individualized. They were made to wear the same prison uniform, and they had stocking caps put on their heads. The guards also were wearing uniforms with mirrored sunglasses. The first day, they weren't really totally into their roles, but by the time the first day was over and the second day had begun, the guards were already using violent techniques, forceful techniques against the prisoners, forcing them to do push-ups, spraying them down with a fire extinguisher.
Now, that was
rebellion.
The second day.
It was the beginning of the second day.
Really, just the beginning of the second day. You know, one of the things that these experiments, there's two of them that I'm thinking of, this, the Stanford Prison Experiment here, and then the other one where they had individuals come in and zap people behind a wall.
Was that Milgram? I think it was Milgram.
I don't know off the top of my head, but it sort of shows that not only does a position of power attract somebody who might abuse the power, but power itself causes people to do things that they would never do otherwise. Yeah.
That they never would have considered doing otherwise.
Right.
It causes them to actually step, when given this role that has power as a prison guard, they step into the role,
mm-hmm.
and they become a prison guard, sadistic prison guard.
Almost a little over 24 hours ago, they were just college students.
Yep.
And now they felt that it was necessary. You know, they could have just walked away and said, or, you know, just sat there and gone about their business or whatever, but they felt that it was necessary to subdue these other college students with force because they were play-acting, one like prison guards and the other like prisoners.
I'm going to read some more because it's just so good.
Yeah.
There was a first rebellion where the prisoners started putting beds up against the walls. They were taking off their caps and mm-hmm. and just rebelling. They quelled that rebellion with the fire extinguishers. There were multiple guards. They called in reinforcements, and they shut them down. So the rebellion had been temporarily crushed. But now a new problem faced the guards. Sure, 9 guards with clubs could put down a rebellion by 9 prisoners. But you couldn't have 9 guards on duty at all times. Because remember, the night guys stayed on to help out. They called in the reinforcements. So, it's obvious that our prison budget couldn't support such a ratio of staff to inmates. So what were they going to do? One of the guards came up with a solution. Quote, "Let's use psychological tactics instead of physical ones." Psychological tactics amounted to setting up what they called a privilege cell. One of the 3 cells was designated as a privilege cell. The 3 prisoners least involved in the rebellion were given special privileges. They got their uniforms back, got their beds back, and were allowed to wash and brush their teeth. The others were not. Privileged prisoners also got to eat special food in the presence of the other prisoners who had temporarily lost the privilege of eating.
Wow.
The effect was to break the solidarity among the prisoners. After half a day of this treatment, the guards then took some of those good prisoners and put them back into the bad cells, then took some of the bad prisoners and put them into the good cell, which thoroughly confused all of the prisoners. Some of the prisoners, who were the ringleaders, now thought that the prisoners from the privileged cell must be informants. And suddenly the prisoners became distrustful of each other.
Mm.
Our ex-convict consultants later informed us that a similar tactic is used by real guards in real prisons to break prisoner alliances.
I've never heard of that.
For example, racism is used to pit blacks, Chicanos, and Angelos against each other. In fact, in a real...
Anglos.
Mm-hmm. In fact, in a real prison, the greatest threat to any prisoner's life comes from fellow prisoners. By dividing and conquering this way, guards promote aggression amongst inmates, thereby deflecting it from themselves. The prisoners' rebellion also played an important role in producing greater solidarity among the guards. Now, suddenly, it was no longer just an experiment, no longer a simple simulation. Instead, the guards saw the prisoners as troublemakers, who were out to get them, who might really cause them some harm. In response to this threat, the guards began stepping up their control, surveillance, and aggression. Every aspect of the prisoners' behavior fell under the total and arbitrary control of the guards. Even going to the toilet became a privilege which the guard could grant or deny at his whim. Indeed, after
it's gonna be kind of tough to deny.
Indeed, after the nightly 10 p.m. lights out lockup, prisoners were often forced to urinate or defecate in a bucket that was left in their cell.
I see.
So, they could still go,
right?
Just not into a nice, clean toilet. On occasion,
comfortable toilet.
Yeah. On occasion, the guards would not allow prisoners to empty the buckets. And soon the prison began to smell of urine and feces, further adding to the degrading quality of the environment. The guards were especially tough on the ringleader of the rebellion, prisoner number 5401. He was a heavy smoker, and they controlled him by regulating his opportunity to smoke. We later learned, while censoring the prisoner's mail, that he was a self-styled radical activist. He had volunteered in order to expose our study, which he mistakenly thought was an establishment tool to find ways to control student activists and radicals. In fact, he had planned to sell the story to an underground newspaper when the experiment was over.
Mm.
However, he fell so completely into the role of prisoner that he was proud to be elected leader of the Stanford County Jail Grievance Committee, as revealed in a letter to his girlfriend. Less than 36 hours into the experiment, prisoner number 8612 began suffering from an acute emotional disturbance, disorganized thinking, uncontrollable crying, and rage. In spite of all this, we'd already come to think so much like prison authorities that we thought he was trying to con us, to fool us into releasing him. In fact, I don't think we're going to get to it, but later on in this particular, on this website, prisonexp.org, the organizer of the experiment starts to talk about his own psychology and how he was falling into the role of essentially what was prison warden or
experiment. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was surprised that he, as the man who had masterminded the experiment, had fallen into the role that he created for himself. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Anyway, so we'd already come to think he was trying to con us, to fool us into releasing him. When our primary prison consultant interviewed prisoner 8612, the consultant chided him for being so weak and told him what kind of abuse he could expect from the guards and prisoners if he were in San Quentin prison.
Hmm.
Number 8612 was
I
then...
I love this prison consultant, this ex-convict prison consultant.
8612 was then given the offer of becoming an informant in exchange for no further guard harassment. He was told to think it over. During the next count, 8612 told the other prisoners, "You can't leave! You can't quit!" That sent a chilling message and heightened their sense of really being imprisoned. 8612 then began to act crazy, to scream, to curse, to go into a rage that seemed out of control. It took quite a while before we became convinced that he really was suffering and that we had to release him. The next day, we held a visiting hour for parents and friends. We were worried that the parents, when the parents saw the state of our jail, that they might insist on taking their sons home. To counter this, we manipulated both the situation and the visitors by making the prison environment seem pleasant and benign. We washed, shaved, and groomed the prisoners. Had them clean and polished their cells, fed them a big dinner, played music on the intercom, and even had an attractive former Stanford cheerleader, Susie Phillips, greet the visitors at our registration desk.
You're killing me.
What a show, huh? When the dozen or so visitors came full of good humor at what seemed to be a novel, fun experience, we systematically brought their behavior under situational control.
Hmm.
They had to register, were made to wait half an hour, were told that only two visitors could see any one prisoner, and were limited to only 10 minutes of visiting time, and had to be under the surveillance of a guard during the visit. Before any parents could enter the visiting area, they also had to discuss their son's case with the warden. Of course, parents complained about these arbitrary rules, but remarkably, they complied with them.
They just did them.
And so they, too, became bit players in our prison drama, being good middle-class adults. Aren't they good at following the rules?
They are.
Yes, they are.
Middle-class people are really good at following rules.
1-800-259-9231. You can take control of the airwaves. Some responses from the parents here coming up. Anything goes. This is your show, Free Talk Live.
Hello, this is Amy Bjorklund. Are you totally satisfied with the nourishment you're getting? Do you have enough energy to do everything you really want to do? And are you content to remain in your current state of health indefinitely? Have you already tried diets, exercise, vitamins, juicing, or the latest, greatest nutritional wonder products? Perhaps those things have grown tiresome and not made you feel and look as well as you'd really like to. But what if you found from a single source the world's freshest, purest, most complete, whole, live food nourishment that tastes delicious and couldn't be any easier to consume? Well, you just did. So don't hesitate. Take the living energy you've always wanted from your nutrition right now. Visit truthandexcellence.com, click the Truth and Excellence banner on gcnlive.com, or call me, Amy Bjorklund, personally at 805-595-2711. 805-595-2711.
Surely you've heard that ignorance of the law is no excuse. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. So what's the excuse for your representatives in Congress? Their ignorance is even worse. They don't even read many of the laws they pass. At DownsizeDC.org, we're proposing a simple but powerful idea, the Read the Bills Act, to force Congress to read the laws they pass. Why? Because we believe the federal government is way too big. Visit DownsizeDC.org because ignorance is no excuse, even for a congressman.
Would you like to get involved with pro-liberty causes but just can't find the time? Let us spread the word about freedom for you. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier now for just $3 a month, and you'll help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations and more MP3 players. That means more new people coming across the message of freedom every day. Other pro-liberty organizations just seem to gobble up contributions and make very little progress. AMP actually works. For all the details, visit amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com.
Are rising gas prices flattening your wallet? Try Royal Purple High Performance Motor Oil.
What? How's that?
Yes, independent tests by respected universities show Royal Purple reduces fuel consumption by as much as 5%. That means Royal Purple can deliver better gas mileage, for a fatter wallet. Go to RoyalPurple.com for details. That's Royal Purple, the high-performance motor oil that outperforms. Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to RoyalPurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and RoyalPurple.com today.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best-kept secret in the world today is that now it's possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star War technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267. 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. Only moments remain, however, on this Thursday edition. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark,
if you want to get in, now would be the time to call. 800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com, and we want you to amp the show. Go to amp.freetalklive.com. Putting up $3 a month. If you like what we're doing here with Free Talk Live, and you like the fact that unlike those other talk shows, we give you everything for free on our website, well, then voluntarily contribute. The point of the AMP program is that you send us $3 a month, and we turn it around into advertising, marketing, and promoting Free Talk Live, thereby getting the message of freedom and liberty out onto more radio stations around the country, to more internet connections, and to more new people. So if that's important to you, and you like the idea of getting some perks, like access to classic archives and the amplifier-only call-in lines, amplifier-only forum, and more, then go to amp.freetalklive.com to learn more about the AMP program. We're talking about the Stanford Prison Experiment, just one of the most stunning, shocking, and amazing experiments done, I think, in American history. And it's detailed in, it's very detailed, at prisonexp.org, written by the guy who originally did the experiment. He was part of the experiment, actually. He started falling into his role as prison administrator. Again, prisonexp.org, we can't read it all. It's so detailed, so much information, but I'm going to continue. They brought the parents in. Remember, at this point, the guards and the prisoners were totally into their roles. The prisoners controlling, the guards controlling the prisoners, the prisoners allowing themselves to be controlled and just being pathetic and prisoner-like. And so they brought the parents in for a visiting day. They cleaned up the prison. They made the prisoners look better. They shaved them. They really put on a show for these parents. And some of the parents got upset when they saw how fatigued and distressed their sons were. But their reaction was to work within the system, to appeal privately to the superintendent to make conditions better for their boy.
Huh.
When one mother told me that she'd never seen her son looking so bad, I responded by shifting the blame from the situation to her son. "Well, what's the matter with your boy? Doesn't he sleep well?" Then I asked his father, "Don't you think your boy can handle this?" He bristled, "Well, of course he can. He's a real tough kid. He's a leader." Turning to his mother, the father said, "Come on, honey. We've wasted enough time already. And to me, see you again at the next visiting time." So easily turning away the concerns of the parents about what was going on in the prison. The next major event we had to contend with was a rumored mass escape plot. One of the guards overheard the prisoners talking about an escape that would take place immediately after visiting hours. The rumor went as follows. Prisoner 8612, whom we'd released the night before, was going to round up a bunch of his friends and break in to free the prisoners. How do you think we reacted to this rumor?
How did they find that out?
They heard the prisoners talking.
But how did the prisoners find that 8612 was going
to
do such a thing?
Well, you'll find out later. I don't know if we'll get to the to how it happened, but
gotcha.
As it turned out, it was just a lie. They were just talking about it. They made it up. How do you think we reacted to this rumor? Do you think we recorded the pattern of rumor transmission and prepared to observe the impending escape? Well, that's what we should have done, of course, if we were acting like experimental social psychologists. Instead, we reacted with concern over the security of our prison. What we did was to hold a strategy session with the warden, the superintendent, and one of the chief lieutenants, Craig Haney, to plan how to foil the escape. So instead of acting like psychologists,
that's crazy.
They acted like prison administrators. After our meeting, we decided to put an informant, an experimental Confederate, into the cell that 8612 had occupied. The job of the informant would be to give us information about the escape plot. I then went back to the Palo Alto Police Department and asked the sergeant if we could have our prisoners transferred to their old jail. My request was turned down because the police department would not be covered by insurance if we moved our prisoners into their jail. I left angry and disgusted at this lack of cooperation between our correctional facilities.
Oh my God.
I was now totally into my role. We then formulated a second plan. The plan was to dismantle our jail after the visitors left, call in more guards, chain the prisoners together, put bags over their heads, and transport them to a fifth-floor storage room until after the anticipated break-in. When the conspirators came, I would be sitting there alone. I would tell them that the experiment was over and that we had sent their friends home, and that there was nothing left to liberate. After they left, we'd bring our prisoners back and redouble the security of our prison. We even thought of luring number 8612 back on some pretext, and then imprisoning him again because he was released on false pretenses. This was the kid that they released after he totally was freaking out and having a psychotic episode. They're talking about bringing him back!
College kids. All of them.
Yeah. I was sitting there all alone, waiting anxiously for the intruders to break in, when who should happen along but a colleague and former Yale graduate student roommate, Gordon Bauer. Gordon had heard that we were doing an experiment, and he came to see what was going on. I briefly described what we were up to, and Gordon asked me a very simple question. Say, what's the independent variable in this study? To my surprise, I got really angry at him. Here I had a prison break on my hands. The security of my men and the stability of my prison was at stake, and now I had to deal with this bleeding-heart liberal academic, a fet ding-dong, who was concerned about the independent variable? It wasn't until much later that I realized how far into my prison role I was at that point, that I was thinking like a prison superintendent rather than a research psychologist. There's more uprisings by the prisoners. There's more stuff that goes on before they finally ended the experiment. I'd love to have you go and check it out for yourself. PrisonEXP.org. We go to the phones to the fun. Vince in Indianapolis. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hey,
Vince.
Hello. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I was still listening to you there. About the Stanford prison experiment.
Yes, sir.
I think you'll find that a lot of states experiment in different ways. I know the state I worked, when I started working, when I got out of college, I worked for the Indiana Department of Corrections. As a businessman, you know, one of the business people.
Okay.
And I worked at what they call a level one facility.
All right.
Doesn't sound very dangerous.
They weren't very dangerous, but it depended on what they determined what was dangerous and not.
So what was your comment?
Taking off key inquiry?
Oh, well, what they did was limit the visitations, took away conjugal visits. They basically gave the prisoners, well, we don't call them prisoners anymore. We call them offenders. So that was one of the things. But They made the offenders or the prisoners at all levels go through various workout facilities.
Workout facilities?
Yeah, not the juveniles. The juveniles, they put them in a, painted the rooms white, dressed them in fatigues, put them through boot camp, basically.
There's a lot of psychology that goes on here. Even the changing of their name from prisoner to offender, that gets them to think, even if they, like for instance, if they were convicted without actually committing the crime, if they were wrongfully convicted, they're no longer a prisoner, they're an offender. Even though they know in their mind they didn't do anything, they get used to hearing themselves be called offender. That can really have, that can really take a toll on people. Vince, thanks for the call, man. 800-259-9231. We've got to get to more calls. We got Liam on the line in Sweden. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hi, I just wanted to bring two things up really quickly.
Yes, sir.
First, last night you said you didn't know what the helmet laws in New Hampshire were. So I just thought I'd call up and say New Hampshire is one of only four states that has no helmet law.
It doesn't seem to me like the state should be telling motorcyclists that they should wear helmets.
Right. If you want to take that risk, it should be up to you.
It seems like a big one, but it's not one that I'm going to tell you you have to take.
Thanks for the update, Liam. Anything else on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to say the Pirate Party got 0.63% in the final count.
Not enough to cut it. They were supposed to get 4%, weren't they?
Right.
In order to make it into... Is it Parliament? Do you call it Parliament there? What's your House of Representatives called there?
Yeah, it's the Parliament.
The Parliament. So, I don't know, 0.69% for the for their first election? I don't know if that's terrible. I mean, at least somebody voted for him. There you go, Liam from Sweden. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
1-800-259-9231. So the Stanford Prison Experiment, just an amazing, amazing classic experiment, really showing how people will just step into the roles that are provided for them. They may not have been sadists, the guards, in the beginning of the experiment, but by the time they were done, they were.
You know, it just proves the statement that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Amazingly, none of these people had this intention, but put in these circumstances, they took on the roles of prison guards and prisoners and prison administrators, and just, it's sort of reprehensible, weird and reprehensible what went on.
And they didn't even realize what they were getting into. And when I say they, I mean the guy organizing the experiment, the psychologist in charge, Phil Zimbardo. He didn't realize what he was getting into. He made the mistake of making himself the prison administrator. So he stepped out of his role as experimenter and into the role of prison administrator, and that means that he totally got lost in this morass of roles and people playing roles, and he stepped into his own role. In fact, after their prison break, supposed, that never actually occurred, and as it turned out, it was just a rumor, well, here's what they did to the prisoners as a result of that. I mean, somebody had to pay for it, right? The guards, again, escalated very noticeably their level of harassment, increasing the humiliation they made prisoners suffer, forcing them to do menial, repetitive work such as cleaning out toilet bowls with their bare hands.
Ugh.
The guards had prisoners do push-ups, jumping jacks, and whatever they could think up, and they increased the length of the counts to several hours each, just continuing to escalate the punishment, continuing to escalate the sickness. And there's more information. PrisonExp.org. It's been Ian here with you.
And Mark.
See you tomorrow night. Online in the meantime, freetalklive.com.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.